A guy who is always super prepared, super early. He's very punctual. I'm sure he's got it all figured out. He's not running around frantically before he has a couple dozen people at his house. Joins me on the line right now, Mike Wilner. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Benathan.
Are you prepared to host a Super Bowl party today?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Really? You have everything in your house already? That's kind of surprising.
I got to make a beverage run still, but other than that.
What kind of beverages? I know you don't partake, but
no, and I'm not gonna. I don't. Last year, I didn't really serve any. I have 3 bottles of beer at my house. So I had 4 last year. Right. One went.
Oh, really?
So we'll see how that works.
Okay, that's good news. I'm looking forward to it, and everybody's invited. Anyone that can hear my voice is invited to Mike's house, right?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. I haven't filled out my prop sheet, but you're doing a props thing. That's cool. It's a lot of I don't want to call them obvious ones, but it's a bunch of, there's nothing that's totally off the beaten path. You got heads or tails.
It has to be easy to keep track of.
Yeah. And I'm in on that. And I've been asking people their opinions on props, all day, and I will continue to do so and filling it out. No box betting sheet where you pick the 2 numbers that are the end of the score for both teams. Didn't decide to go for that, eh?
We could do that at the time. I mean, that's not something that'll take a long time to put together. So there's always potential for that if that's what people want.
What's the seating arrangement? Because I've been to your house. I guess you got a pretty good couch situation. Will it be people standing?
I don't think we're going to have a couple of dozen people, though. I think it may be
50, 60.
Yeah, right.
No?
No, it's a reasonable couch situation. And there are dining room chairs and bridge chairs and other chairs, and that'll probably do, I hope. There may be some floor. There may be some people who have to sit on each other. Such things happen.
Oh, it could devolve into that type of party, eh? Okay. Eyes wide shut style. I got you. No, I hear you. Food, before we move on to other things. Food situation. You told me not to bring anything. And I told you that my wife, being born and raised in Houston, Texas, has this thing that she makes, Southern, I don't want to call it a delicacy because, first of all, it's very simple. And second of all, it's like, it's not a delicacy. It's called a Frito pie, in which it is just Fritos and stag chili covered in cheese. And we haven't decided whether she's going to make that or not. What is the food situation? Because I know this is the first time I've attended this, but you've apparently had a problem with an overabundance of food in years previous.
Last year, I had way too much food left over, and maybe it was because maybe it was the wrong food. I don't know. So I'm still not 100% sure whether I have the right mix of grub.
Yeah.
But there are chicken wings.
Ooh.
There are boneless chicken wings.
Those are, okay. First of all, I take issue with people calling those chicken wings. Those are chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets, it's true.
Yeah.
Mozzarella sticks.
Ooh.
Zucchini sticks.
It's like deep fried pickles, but except they're zucchinis?
Deep fried pickles, except they're good.
Oh, listen, you can come on this show and say whatever you want, but I'll be damned if I'm going to let you besmirch the good name of deep fried pickles.
I'm sorry. True is true. Sometimes, there are no relatives in truth.
Oh my
God. It's all absolute.
All right. So you're saying it sounds like you got a lot of stuff. Do you think we should
turkey meatballs happening, and of course the chipses and the dipses and all that stuff.
So what do you think? Frito pie or not?
I don't know. Last year I think someone brought like a 7-layer dip that moved reasonably well.
You know what the problem with the Frito pie is, that it's not really a hand meal, right?
Like, yeah, that's the thing. Like you want as much finger food as possible at an event like this.
Right. Like
you don't want people sitting with plates and forks and knives.
I don't even know if you can eat it off a plate. I think you need like a bowl. We need to like bring like a scoop. You need people to scoop it up. You know what? Maybe it's not practical for a Super Bowl party.
Maybe it is impractical. Maybe that's more for like a fine dining evening.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, when we have you over to the house for dinner, it'll just be Frito pie. Yeah. Good point. Before we move on, the contingent, you say that it'll be about a dozen, maybe upwards of 20.
I think we may have two women.
Yeah, well, my wife is going.
Yeah, see?
I believe Jason Rozon's wife's going.
Yeah, that's two.
Well, and your daughters will be there, won't they?
That's true, but they are girls.
Oh, okay. Those, you don't consider them women yet?
No.
That'll be a big moment for you when you do. But
although last year, well, no, that has nothing to do with girls versus women, but last year my then 8-year-old did, in fact, win the props betting thing.
Well, if that happens this year, I will contest that the fix is in. So make sure that doesn't happen. Okay? I don't know what you have to do, freeze an envelope, but that can't happen.
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay, well, okay,
certainly
so...
certainly possible.
My last question about this is, I like to actually watch the football game. This will not be a problem, right? Because I'll be kind of engrossed in the game. And my wife won't be that into it, so maybe we should have, like, separate viewing areas. Is it just one television we're dealing with here?
We're dealing with just one television.
All right, okay. Well, I don't know.
We don't have separate seating areas. There's no. I don't know if you saw Saturday Night Live last night. They had a very clever commercial parody about things for women to do while the Super Bowl is on.
That's not
but,
nice.
But no, but it was. That's why the word parody was in there.
Oh, I see. Okay. Is Saturday Night Live funny again?
When was it last not funny?
I don't know. There's been some moments.
Yeah.
I don't know who the hell's on the show anymore. I saw the Taron Killam, I guess, is this guy who's kind of emerged from this crop, but
it's maybe, I don't know if he I'm not on the bandwagon the way a lot of other people are.
All right.
I'm enjoying watching the potential emergence of young Pete Davidson.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Very, very interesting.
Okay. Who you got before we move to baseball? Who you got in the game? I know on your prop sheet you've got point spread New England -1. I think it has moved to a pick'em
really?
At this point. Yeah, it looks like there's been a lot of late sharp money, you would think, on the Seahawks. Also, the guys, the degenerate gamblers on the bottom line wanted me to say hello to you.
I'm a big, huge fan of the degenerate gamblers. They know it well.
Yeah, they do.
I don't know. Yeah, you
it,
know
it
what?
Would be the first pick'em ever if it is a pick'em, but who you got?
And it's not, I don't think that's terrible, a pick'em.
No.
It's easy to go on either side of this thing. I mean, Seattle has a tremendous defense, and they, you know, the defending champions and all of that stuff, and New England is New England, and Bill Belichick's never lost to a team in the playoffs that he hasn't faced in that regular season or something. He's 10-0. I think Belichick in that situation. I for some reason, and I'm not sure quite what that reason is, I feel a little bit of a lean towards Seattle. But you know, how many teams win two in a row?
Yeah, not many. It's been a while. The Patriots were the last to do it, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, I still like the Patriots. I think the chip on the shoulder thing is a real thing. Yeah, and there's no way to apply the Isaacson-Tarbell postulate to this, is there?
Well, what were their regular season records?
I think they both had 12 wins, didn't they?
If they had the same regular season record and the game is being played on a neutral site, then no, the Isaacson.
Yeah, they were both 12-4.
Postulate does not apply.
Dang it!
Sorry.
The Seahawks had wrapped up the season with 6 wins, but yeah, 6 straight wins. But yeah, okay, all right, so. I think we've done our Super Bowl breakdown. Let's talk a little baseball. Why don't we? Because we're 3 weeks away from pitchers and catchers, which is amazing.
Yep.
You were all over this Ronald Belisario thing, Mike. You broke the news that he would not end up signing with the Toronto Blue Jays, which was kind of shocking to me because I thought it was like almost done, and a lot of people had reported that it was done.
Yeah, it was almost done. It was very, very close to done.
And we talked about the reasons why, or at least you talked to Jeff Blair, and I think a lot of people wondered why on Twitter as to why it fell through. Maybe it was a physical thing with some issues there, or maybe he was offered a major league deal. And that's what makes today's news kind of head-scratching, because he does sign a minor league deal with the Tampa Bay Rays, Mike. How does that affect how we look back at the tenure of Ronald Belisario with the Toronto Blue Jays?
Well, I think there are two things that we don't know. Well, I know there are two things that we don't know that may make it a little more easy to figure out why it happened. Will he have an opportunity to close in Tampa? Probably not.
No.
And how much are they going to give him if he makes the team? We know it was going to be 1.7 with the Blue Jays had he made the team. We don't know what Tampa's going to give him if he makes the team. And maybe there's a greater opportunity for him in Tampa just to be in the major leagues. So I don't know. Maybe it was the Blue Jays who backed away. We just all I know is that it didn't happen. And I really don't know why. I don't think it was physical because they don't, when you sign guys to a minor league contract.
Right. It almost doesn't matter.
Really take a physical.
You don't?
No. You just do it.
Okay. Yeah. That's what it seems so weird. Like there was no risk involved for the Blue Jays. So it must've been on Belisario's, side of things, but
not necessarily.
Okay. Well, do you think we'll ever know? We'll never know.
We may never know.
I mean, we're used to seeing something like this happen where he goes to the Rays after having a very down year. And you look at the advanced numbers. I mean, his FIP was much lower than his ERA last year. And ERA doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot if you're a reliever anyways. Yeah, his FIP was 3.54 when his ERA was 5.56 last year with the White Sox. So got very unlucky with 3.39 BABIP. Usually, when you see guys sign with the Rays, it means they're going to be good after a down year because that's what Andrew Friedman and the Rays do. But he's no longer there. Can we still make those assumptions when people sign with the Rays anymore?
Maybe. I don't know. It was really, really weird the way that relievers' careers blossom briefly when they go to the Tampa Bay Rays, and maybe that's why Belisario wound up going there. But, yeah, you look at guys who have sucked for years.
Yeah.
And they go to Tampa and all of a sudden they become really, really good. It's not just Fernando Rodney and Joaquin Benoit. I mean, there have been loads of them who have been down there. And
Kyle Farnsworth, was he not one as well?
Kyle Farnsworth was one. Burke Badenhop was one. But yeah, you just go back like 6 or 7 years and you see these great Rays relievers who were never any good anywhere else. And maybe that does have something to do with it. I don't know how much it's Andrew Freeman and Friedman and how much of it is everybody else and how much of it is just the environment or something or Joe Maddon or Jim Hickey or whatever.
Yeah.
Madden's gone, but Hickey isn't. I can't explain it. But maybe it'll work for him. Maybe it won't. I mean, you're right. The peripherals were much better than the actual numbers last year. He's never been able to get left-handers out.
Yeah.
So I don't expect that will change. But good defense could change a lot of his overall numbers.
Yeah, his WHIP the last couple of years has been consistently pretty high. But, not nearly as bad as his numbers would lead you to believe a year ago. Again, he's just going to be a guy. It's not like he's going to be lights out. Although, I mean, Mike Raleigh said that about Fernando Rodney when he signed with the Rays, and that not only was he just going to be a guy, he was probably going to be like a bad reliever. Like,
yeah.
Literally, he was bad.
No, and then he was terrible.
He had the greatest season for a reliever maybe in history.
It's, who knows? I don't know if there's magic in the
I believe
crop it. Or what, but it's one of those unexplainableistic things.
Casey Jansen signed with the Washington Nationals, Mike. 1 year, $5 million, I believe, with an option, a mutual option for a second year there, and there's a buyout as well. Seems like a good fit for them. National League, I'm sure he's going to enjoy a whole lot more than playing in the American League East. And for the Nationals, they get rid of Tyler Clippard, and they add a starting second baseman and a setup man for less than Clippard is being paid this year. So it looks like a pretty good deal for the Nationals.
For about $1 million more than Clippard's being made.
Is it about $1 million? Okay.
Yeah, 10 or rather than 9. But, I mean, yeah, it's that's if you look at it that way, it's awfully swell for them. And I'm honestly really surprised that Casey Jansen didn't go to the Dodgers. I'm sure that it was that was on L.A.'s side rather than Casey's. He would have loved to have pitched there. But, you know, after watching what happened to the Dodgers in the playoffs last year and the inability of anybody but Kenley Jansen to get people out in the playoffs, I expected they would be all over as many good relievers as they could get. And I'm really, really surprised that that marriage didn't happen. It seemed like the perfect fit to me. But Casey will go to Washington, and hopefully he'll be really good. He'll compete, I guess, with Drew Storen for the closer's job, or he'll one of them will take it from the other at some point.
Yeah.
You know, he's been, when healthy, the spectacular reliever for his entire career. He's never had a time where he's been healthy and not good pitching
well,
out of the bullpen.
So you're saying that he wasn't healthy second half of last year?
Well, he had the food poisoning thing, and that knocked him for a loop those first couple of weeks after the All-Star break. And he had 4 bad outings in the second half, and 2 of them were in that time period.
Yeah, and one of the, a couple.
And another one of them was when they pushed him farther than he'd ever pitched. You know, and he's sick, and they're making him throw a second inning. And so, yeah, I look at Casey Jansen's 2014 very differently than a lot of people do.
Yeah,
it was really for me just 3 bad outings, and that, you know, for a reliever that can ruin your season.
Oh, it definitely can. You got a small sample size of 45 2/3 innings.
Yeah,
it was all he pitched last year, but some very memorable blow-ups for a team that finished on the outside of the playoff picture looking in for the 20th straight year. Talking to Mike Wilner, Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet Radio Network. Sticking with the Nationals, Mike, this caught my eye the other day, and I've been kind of following it. Jason Worth was caught driving 105 miles an hour on the Beltway in Virginia.
Yep.
A couple months
he's
ago.
He's going to jail.
He's going to jail for 5 days. Now, they're going to let him do it on the weekend, right? So he's going to do 2 weekends and then 1 bonus day. Which is,
why don't they just put him in for a week?
He says he doesn't want to do it because he's still doing rehab after surgery. And they said, okay, fine, you can keep doing that rehab. Come in here for weekends, and we'll hang out for the weekend. What a spectacular waste of taxpayer dollars. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
What a complete joke. But I got to thinking about it a little bit more, Mike. What if Nationals, Blue Jays, World Series, Jason Worth can't cross the border.
See, that'd be nice.
Right? Blue Jays should hope for that scenario.
Have there been opportunities for that to happen in the past?
I feel like there has been. Nothing came to mind, but I feel like I've seen that story before.
I think I have, too. Guys with records on other teams.
I think usually, they give them a pardon or something.
Yeah. So it would be kind of swell if this time they didn't.
Also, Alexi Agondo, another reliever off the market, he goes to the Red Sox. I would have liked Alexi Agondo on this Blue Jays team as well, Mike, because he's a guy who's actually had some success as a starter as well, and nobody really thought he would be able to get lefties out, but he did a reasonable job with the Rangers. Of course, he's banged up, but he goes to the Red Sox. You think the Blue Jays were in on him?
I do. They've liked him for a long time, but the Blue Jays, first of all, don't have a lot of money to spend, A, and two, don't give contracts with incentive clauses. And so he's making $1.5 million with the Red Sox with another $1.5 million in incentives. The Blue Jays could have offered him 2 or 2.5 clean, but that's a lot of money given what they've got left for a guy who is an unknown. You don't know how he's going to be coming off the injury. And so that's the issue there, I think.
You know, Mike, this team sure does have a lot of contract rules for a team that's finished out of the playoffs for 20 years. Right? Like, come on, honestly.
Yeah, they do.
How about bend a little bit? And I guess they could.
Sure, for the right guy, you bend.
Yeah.
But you're not going to rewrite your policy for Alexi Agondo.
Well, why wouldn't you have incentive rules? Because you want to know what your payroll is going into the season? Why is that a rule? Like, I understand the 5 year thing. That makes sense because there's not a lot of contracts that went further than 5 years that have looked good in hindsight, at least the last few years of them. But I mean, no incentive clauses in contracts doesn't necessarily make sense to me.
I think it has a lot to do with what you said, with knowing what your payroll is going to be, knowing how much money you're spending, because, you know, that's what happens when you have budgets, when you have corporate ownership that sets, you know, standards of this is what you have and this is what you got to do. And if you got bonuses and incentives, then that can be a variable, and you really don't want it to be a variable.
Oh, you know what's a variable, Mike? This Canadian dollar thing.
Isn't it?
It's now trading at 79 cents U.S., and I read a story about, well, I mean, you can do the simple math about how that affects this Blue Jays payroll. And I think in the past, has Major League Baseball not offered the Blue Jays some sort of compensation to
equalize?
Yeah,
they had equalization payments a long time ago. Well, not a long time ago, but back when the dollar was pretty awful, which it then emerged from and was fine for a long, long time until very recently. But if it's going to be down for the next couple of years, which is, I believe, what's expected, then that might be something that they could revisit.
Is it something, Mike, that has affected this the spending this offseason for the Blue Jays, in your opinion?
I think probably, yeah. When we've heard Paul Beeston say many, many times that the Blue Jays payroll is going to be higher this year than it was last year, and when you break down the numbers, clearly it's not, but when you factor in the dollar, it is. So I do think it's had something to do with how much money they have to spend. They're operated on this side of the border by a company that trades and that works in Canadian dollars.
Yep.
So that's the way they put their numbers together.
Before I let you go, Keith Law has turned into the prospect guy. When you talk about prospects, you talk about the Keith Law rankings almost universally, or Baseball America, Baseball Perspective rankings as well, but a lot of people put a lot
and
of...
MLB.com. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of them. But Keith Law is definitely one of the good ones.
One of them. Yeah, for sure. And his came out his top 100 the other day and his top organizational, top 10 for each organization. He's got Daniel Norris first, Dalton Pompey 2, and Aaron Sanchez 3, Miguel Castro, Roberto Osuna, Jeff Hoffman, Max Pentecost, Richard Urena, J-Ro Labor, Alberto Tirado, who I've never heard of. But
never heard of Alberto Tirado?
No, who's Alberto Tirado?
I've heard of him. He's a pitcher in the low minors.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
No, but I mean, you've heard of all the other nine of them?
No, okay. I've never heard of J-Ro Labor or J-Ro. Richard. Okay, or Richard Urena.
Yeah, he's the new name on that list. He's the one who's not usually on those prospect things. What's interesting is that Devin Travis is not in that top 10.
Yeah, and he does not like
Keith Law thing. Keith Law doesn't like Devin Travis.
Yeah,
and you know, a guy who was number one on the Detroit Tigers minor league prospect list, according to Baseball America or MLB.com, I'm not sure which, doesn't even show up now on the Blue Jays top 10. So there's a little bias there on Keith's
part.
Well,
I don't know if it's bias. It's just he evaluates him differently.
Right. He evaluates him differently. He's biased against the little guys without the,
even though he's a little guy.
Yeah. What are you going to do? But, I mean, he's a guy who absolutely deserves to be, one would think, on the top 10 of your team. But anyway, a lot of guys have Norris ranked ahead of Sanchez, and that's really, really interesting.
Yeah.
He's a lefty who throws in the high 90s. And for all the excitement about Sanchez because of the success that he had in the major leagues last year, Norris could well wind up being better. And the Blue Jays' perfect scenario for 2015 is that Daniel Norris wins a job in the starting rotation so that Aaron Sanchez can go into the bullpen and be the closer.
I can't wait to buy my Richard Urethra, I mean Urena, jersey because I've never heard of this guy. To follow up on that. Find out who he is. Michael, thanks a lot for this. I will see you in mere hours without Frito Pie, I think, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I think, again, it's when we have one of those elegant dinner parties, that's probably a better time for the Frito Pie.
Right, and we'll do it without utensils, so it'll be like a Frito Pie eating contest. Well, you just have to stick your face in there, okay?
Beautiful.
All right, see you later. Thanks,
All
Michael.
Right.